that I was holding, and I was organizing with a group of amazing volunteers at IWIS program, all helped kind of getting there, finding the answers to my questions, and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. As a fellow SQIST board member, I don't think any of us can say enough great things about it and how it's really supported all of our professional development.
I agree for sure.
Can you tell me a bit about what specific areas in your field you're interested in pursuing and why?
Well, you know, nowadays I'm more into kind of monitoring things from an operational level where I can identify opportunities to improve daily kind of tasks or daily achievements of a specific process. To me, and from here, which is absolutely fundamental to success of a business, the next area of interest is how to take it from operational to a strategic level. Like, what's the best direction for a business in order to make the best services to the citizens? You know, city as a public sector organization is not looking for revenue or profit necessarily. It's different from a manufacturing context, but still, they have to set strategies and find among all the possibilities around what's the best next move for us in order to be successful in fulfilling the services or the requirements as an organization. That's what I'm hoping to move into in future, in close future.
That's awesome. Good luck with that. Can you tell me, and this doesn't have to be just from your job, but what has been one of your most memorable moments from your career or your education?
Well, I will give an example from my career. It was a few months after I got this position, and then because my team is called Continuous Process Improvement, and what we do is just these types of projects for the entire city, I came across an award. It was a Quality and Business Excellence Award by American Society for Quality, and at that time I wasn't a board member, but it was like there's an award that organizations can make self-nominations and articulate how they meet four criteria like customer service, operational excellence, education, support for the employees and such and such. So I was just curious and thinking that I can definitely nominate our team and kind of show how we have been working toward these four criteria for the entire organization. So kind of I took the lead in writing a proposal, and just I had to learn a lot about the past projects that had taken place before my time, because it was just for me a few months. So I had to interview all my team members and find out what they have achieved, and kind of, you know, show the achievements in a quantifiable or a measurable mode, like from a baseline to a specific target, and find out which of the projects fit within fulfilling which of the criteria or each of the criteria for the award. So that was an amazing experience where I had to spend even hours at work to make it kind of happen. I remember a few days I left at around 10 p.m. in the night.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And when we were told that we have been the award winner, it was like a very, very rewarding moment for me after a few months. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's really a big achievement after a few months.
And actually, it was not that I have achieved those outcomes, but I helped kind of giving visibility to the outcomes of my team.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great accomplishment. So, Gila, maybe referencing back to that 10 p.m. leaving work, how do you achieve work-life balance, or do you really think that one exists?
Ah, that question. Well, actually, to be honest, at this point in my life, I don't think I have a work-life balance. But at the same time, you know, definition of balance can be different. Sometimes I think the fact that I make time to go to various events after work is a kind of balance, because it's what I love and that's my lifestyle. So let's be fine with it. I mean, I have learned to be fine and not be blaming myself or not feeling bad just because I'm gaining something for the time that I'm spending outside work hours. But I know, you know, people can have different answers for this. And I've also learned a lot from other people. For me, at work, just as an example, during work, it was like blocking my calendar for tasks was helping. Not all the time, but for a good few months, I was trying to stick to that kind of mindset and do whatever I wanted to or I had planned to do at that time rather than just skipping it. Nowadays, I'm starting to skip it and I know it's not a good way of doing stuff.
Yeah, I think, well, and especially when you're someone who looks to optimize things, I'm sure you come up with many ways to optimize yourself too.
You know, I read a sentence somewhere which is very inspiring, like the largest room in the world is the room for improvement. So I think there's never such a point that something is so optimal that cannot be further improved, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you're dealing with a lot of stress? How do you cope with that? Like if things are busier than normal or you're getting stressed out over a project or a volunteer thing, what do you do to cope with that?
Well, interestingly, I recently learned something from a colleague, which I tried to apply it and I find it very useful. It was like, you know, we all know that the typical answer is prioritize. For sure, that's one thing. But in spite of knowing that, all of us get stressed at times. I think what this colleague told me was just about think of what you own and what you don't necessarily need to own at the workplace. Whenever a request comes to you or whenever there's a suggestion that you're very excited to take over, just kind of rethink for a moment. Do I need to own this or not? I think that has a bit helping me. I mean, by a bit, I mean that it's very recently that I have started applying it, but I'm sure it would be very beneficial in future as well. That's only way I can recommend now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks for the tip. I'm gonna loop back a little bit to the work-life balance and ask if there's anything you'd like to share about what you do in your very heavy air quotes spare time. We've talked about your volunteering with Squist. Is there anything else that you get up to in your spare time that you'd like to share?
Sure. So apparently my spare time is spent in two ways or three ways. One is true spare time where I'm home and I would be taking care of cooking and such. I call that true spare time. Mm-hmm. Other than that, either I've been volunteering and kind of delivering stuff or making some accomplishments, taking care of some responsibilities, such as Squist and with American Society for Quality, or I'm just a participant to an event which is helping my personal growth and professional development. So it's like not necessarily always I'm doing stuff. It's like many times I'm audience to some events, which I still find very useful, and I cannot let them go even though it has been after 8 hours of work.
I hear you on that one. But I think as someone who likes to optimize, I can see why you would want to invest time in personal and professional development.
Well, you know, the era we live in, I think requires us to think there's never enough education. There's so much speed to stuff changing and kind of new and cool stuff coming into the world that we have to cope with learning and have to set aside some time to keep that momentum going on, regardless of how or when we graduated from university, for example.
Ah, great advice. Very good advice. So, Gila, thinking way, way, way back to before you were an undergrad student, what inspired you to study in a STEM field?
Well, it goes back to when I was a small kid. You know, there's two parts to that, I think. From one aspect, and for the reason that I don't ever know, I was always interested in opening and disassembling stuff as much as they could be disassembled. And I don't know for what reason, always I've had this curiosity. Like these mechanical pens were the very first things that I opened. They belonged to my siblings. And I remember I let one of those springs or components kind of go and I never assembled it back and I didn't tell anyone about it. That was the personal part that was making me curious to find more and learn more. Mm-hmm. And from the other side, my elder sister at that time was a nursing student. She had a type of personality that when she came home from classes and afterwards from work, she would tell us about anything that happened in the workplace. This person had a heart problem and then all of a sudden what happened and such and such. Those descriptions was kind of very exciting to me. And even though I didn't end up or I never was interested in going to do health studies or become a nurse typically, but still, I think that has been very impactful in inspiring me to pursue a career in sciences. And I ended up in engineering anyway.
Awesome. So how did you decide specifically industrial engineering?
That choice at the time that I was graduating from high school, it was kind of like, again, back to my tendency for disassembly and disassembling mm-hmm. and assembling. I learned about mechanical engineering to be kind of what I should pursue. So mechanical engineering at that point was my first choice. But very randomly, I was introduced to industrial engineering as some similarity with mechanical and some management perspective as well. Mm-hmm. And someone kind of just recommended me to learn more about it. At that point, I just learned more about and talked to a few industrial engineering graduates mm-hmm. through which I learned, well, there's more to mechanical engineering. I mean, I can still learn a lot from the manufacturing perspective while I leverage skills in order to be a liaison between many engineers of different fields in the workplace, which I liked so much.
Yeah, we talk a lot on the podcast about how engineering is not just being a super smart person in a cubicle by yourself. It has a lot to do with communication and working in teams.
Absolutely. And it's so much needed in order to be a successful engineer and also in order to make the workplace, you know, a rewarding place for everyone. Communication is a must.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So don't forget, those soft skills are just as important as your math scores. So, Sheila, you told us a bit about how you chose industrial engineering as an undergrad. Do you want to tell us a bit about your path through your master's to your PhD in mechatronic systems engineering and how you chose to go with that?
Sure. So my master's was still in industrial engineering. And I remember at the time that I was almost close to graduation, I again did some research in terms of what is the best next step. I was a fan of continuing and doing grad studies as compared to right away going into the job market. Because of that, I had to do this research. And I was very hesitant about either doing for or going for industrial engineering or doing an MBA. So I kind of, out of that research for kind of like stories that are very long, I chose industrial engineering again, which I very much enjoyed. And then I migrated to Canada at that time, and I wasn't even a student at that time. My husband got admission from SFU, and just I had to wrap up my mind in terms of what I'm going to do, whether to apply for a work permit or apply for a study permit and kind of pursue further studies. And it was a 4 month of making decision. During that 4 months, I met a few people, a few profs from UBC, from business schools, from so anywhere that you could imagine that would be a bit close to my program or my background. I explored those options. And out of those explorations, I met someone from mechatronic systems engineering who then became my supervisor. So it kind of was like, I'm not saying it was a very planned move, but at the same time, it turned out to be the best move for me at the time. I got a very, very supportive supervisor. I'm always very thankful for. And so I just started and gladly my supervisor, Dr. Gary Wang, he had a few students from industrial engineering background as well. So he was the only prof at the entire department that had a interdisciplinary field of research that worked for me well. And I took it from there, and nicely in the end of my studies, it was tied back to how to optimize manufacturing costs, how to reduce fuel efficiency. My field of research was electric vehicles and hybrid electric vehicles. So there we were caring about a multi-objective optimization of the mm-hmm. products in such a way that for both customer and manufacturer, it's the best option. So how kind of like conflicting priorities, but how to make the best trade-off for both sides.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up in mechatronic systems engineering.
Awesome. If you had to go back, or maybe speaking to some of the prospective students these days, if they're trying to figure out what to do in university or how to approach university, do you have any advice for them?
So apparently I see lots of opportunities in Canada as compared to back in my kind of condition when I was almost 17 years old or close to graduation from high school in Canada. And one example is the Miss Infinity program of SQUIST, where high school students are kind of being given the education or the awareness that they need in order to find whether there's a specific field in math, science, engineering, and technology that fascinates them or kind of attracts to them more than anything. Mm-hmm. I really want to recommend the high school students to allow exposure to various opportunities, something like that one, to just explore and just observe to see what's clicking or what's resonating with their interests more than anything at the first place. And talking to people, definitely people like me or whoever has gone through some path is so willing to share those lessons learned with younger generation all the time, just telling mm-hmm. them pros and cons of everything they've gone through. So don't be shy. Just start a conversation. For sure, elder generation, and I won't call myself elder generation, but I mean, just people who are a few years older than them are so happy to share all those hints with them.
Yeah, I think that's something that when you're young, you're like, I've got this figured out. I know what's going on. And maybe you're also nervous to ask for help, but it's amazing how much people like talking about themselves.
True.
And giving advice to the younger generation. So definitely, whether you're in high school trying to figure out university or at any level of your career, find someone who's been there. Find someone who can give you that advice, because I promise they'll probably do it for free or maybe the price of a coffee.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's some good advice. Were there any challenges you had to face during your education or in your career?
Well, talking about, you know, gender equity, that's one point. In my bachelor's program, I remember, you know, industrial engineering has so many very practical courses like welding, like casting and machinery stuff that you have to do. And I awesome. Love those. Yeah, I so much miss those times. I remember during those workshops, some of the instructors, not all of them, weren't enough aware or enough careful to give enough opportunities or equal opportunities to the female students as much that they were giving to the male students to just observe. You know, mm-hmm. even as simple as some male students were taller and they were blocking our sight just because they were standing in the front line of observing what's going on in that welding area or whatever. Mm-hmm. So those things are like the things that I started kind of fighting for, and I was finding myself as if I was such a, I don't know, vocal student at that time, or as if I'm not a very compatible person, but now I'm appreciative of whatever I did at that time for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be proud of standing up for what you need.
Yes.
So, Sheila, can you share with me a bit about how your work can come impact the world at large? Like, where would we see it? How, what changes could we see, or what changes will we see in the future?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I don't know which example to give. There are lots of examples. So I'll start with something related to environmental impacts. As you know, we are now thinking of how to migrate from clean or from fossil fuels to clean energy. Mm-hmm. And that's also related to the vehicles we are using. So imagine an organization like a city or a municipality is large enough with lots of departments like parks, security, every department, they require so many vehicles from small to large, even from a mower to some kind of excavator for constructions and such mm-hmm. and such. All those vehicles, just summing them up for all the departments, it would be a large number, over 1,000 maybe for the city, as mm-hmm. I know. What my work does, and specifically kind of optimization can help with, typically is like finding whether we have the optimal number of vehicles or optimizing the fleet size, whether there are vehicles that can be or kind of can be used in shifts in order for less number of vehicles so that the emissions, GHG emissions and such are going to be reduced and kind of the carbon footprint is going to be reduced or mm-hmm. not. So that's a typical idea or an example of how optimization can help the city and the citizen and then the entire globe mm-hmm. in sequence.
Yeah.
Also, there's another cool example, and this is not a project necessarily I've been involved in, but one of the colleagues is doing that, and I found it so fascinating. So again, back to Citi's example, Citi has to do lots of professional construction. And for that purpose, we may need to go to various vendors and kind of receive the service from a vendor or from a contractor. Mm-hmm. And for receiving each and every service, imagine every day they would come and work for a few hours, they would send us an invoice. So just imagine if it's a paper-based invoice, how many papers would be piled up over time? What's the chance of losing some of them, and organization, storage, archival, retrieval, everything? So this project was first about combining invoices and putting a requirement or guiding the vendors, the top vendors, to combine their invoices, mm-hmm. not sending one per each service they had provided. Just send them on a weekly or monthly basis, just a summation on in a digital form or a soft copy rather than a paper-based copy. So the amount of saving and the ability of storage or search or kind of, you know, even uploading the data into financial services systems of the organization was drastically making improvements into people's operational time and overall efficiency of that business unit.
I can imagine. I mean, ditch the paper. That's way the future, right?
Yeah.
So I want to follow up with that and just ask you where you think your career will take you in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, I may be able to imagine for the next few years. I don't know whether 5 or 10. But essentially, in the area that I'm working, still there are lots of opportunities for improvement in the organization. At the same time, many of these improvement areas involve more than one department or more than one business unit. The concept of value stream, where we are talking about something that adds value or provides a kind of output for a specific customer, has to touch so many various departments. And that concept, and in order to kind of deliver a timely service, how each business unit have to put their share in and how they have to be optimized in order for the entire process to be working well, is something that I find very, very interesting to work towards. And I find this to be like a doctor in an organization where mm-hmm. you kind of do a checkup for, I wouldn't say patient, for the business units.
Yeah.
So by checking them up and sending them to labs, which is through our KPIs and measuring their performance, we find out whether there's a trend or whether there's something that we can kind of look into or there's a need for improvement, and provide some kind of remedy, which is those solutions for improvement, and then kind of help them just get back to the normal or the ideal path. So I think still I would have lots to explore in this area for the next few years in a higher level and in a level that is engaging more and more business units rather than one specific area of the processes.
That sounds super fascinating. Good luck with that. So we're going to move on to our lightning round questions. These are short questions that have nothing to do with your career. Or maybe they don't. Let's see. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Yeah. What is your favorite word?
Well, it's two words. Operational excellence.
Awesome. If you weren't working in this field, what do you think you would be doing?
Well, if I had enough money, I always loved traveling around the world.
Awesome. And jumping off of that, where's your favorite place to travel to?
I love, nature scenes that are untouched or undiscovered more than anything on Earth. So I would go just get lost somewhere.
I like that choice. If you could choose one food to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Cheese, maybe?
Oh, very good choice. All right. I'll stop grilling you on the lightning round. All right. As we wrap up, I wanted to see if you have any advice that you'd like to pass on to the next generation of STEM professionals, or if there's any specific audience you'd like to address.
Well, you know, like I said, I was volunteering for a few years with Immigrating Women in Science program, the IWIS from SQUIST. That was so much eye-opening for me.
Mm-hmm.
From that experience, my observation is that sometimes female professionals with STEM backgrounds may not find how much opportunities Canada can offer them, just because possibly there hasn't been equal number of opportunities available before their immigration to them.
Mm.
And definitely my recommendation is soon after you arrive in Canada, start just attending some of the events like what SQUIST holds on a very regular basis. For sure, I understand, and I have been an introvert and a very shy woman at my own time. For sure, attending the very first event or the first few events are very difficult. You wouldn't be feeling very happy because you don't know anyone. You don't want to go to and talk to anyone that not necessarily looks at you at that moment. But just keeping persistence and kind of just repeating that for the next time and possibly the next time helps you find some similar faces or familiar faces, not similar, sorry. Yeah, familiar faces where you can find talking to more comfortable, or kind of like you can overcome that initial fear. From there, you definitely have started opening ways for you, opening doors for yourself, just like most of us have been doing. And don't be afraid of volunteering. Volunteering is a very valuable component in Canada that I had never found or never knew about, as well as the other component is looking for a mentor. There are so many mentorship programs here in BC. I have seen in various levels, regardless of whether your background is a STEM or not, whether you're a woman or not, you know, in all levels, you can find great mentors and great mentorship programs, short term, long term, formalized or in a fixed format rather than as compared to free format of just meeting and chatting. I guarantee you would so benefit from that you would never, ever forget.
Absolutely. Well, very, very wise words. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, Sheila.
Oh, my pleasure, Danielle. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Is there anywhere that people can connect with you online?
Sure. Well, I'm a very kind of happy and active LinkedIn user, and I definitely recommend LinkedIn to all STEM professionals for their own benefit, as well as for finding people like me if they want to. And I would be definitely happy to share hints, share my experience, and kind of if there's a question that I wouldn't know the answer, I would be happy at least to find someone that I believe knows the answer.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep up with all the latest news on women in STEM, you can visit us online at wwest.ca. There, you can subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter, connect with us on social media, and more. From everyone at West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology, thanks for listening.